Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Mickey Dudes podcast. Please stand clear as we pay our bills. Are you thinking about purchasing a DVC resale contract? Are you looking to rent DVC points for a future Disney vacation? In need of financing options? If so, check out the one-stop shop, which is the World of DVC Companies. Their professional staff, with over 185 years of experience, will guide you through your next vacation purchase. Check them out at dvcresalemarket.com, dvcrentalstore.com, and MoneraFinancial.com. And tell them Mickey Dude sent you. The World of DVC, your DVC gateway to a lifetime of magic. Venture outside your comfort zone. The rewards are worth it. Wish Upon a Cookie has evolved into a custom-baked pastry company started in New Jersey by professional chefs turned cookieteers. Their focus is to turn your magical pastry dreams into reality. They offer so much more than a few colors, shapes, and sizes. Their creations are extensions of your inspiration. You can visit them online at their new website, wishuponapastry.com, or on Instagram and Facebook at wishuponapastry. Let your imagination run wild when you wish upon a pastry.
And now, from the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor, it's the Mickey Dudes Podcast. Here's your master of ceremonies, Wazowski.
Hello, humans!
Hello, humans, and welcome to another episode of the Mickey Dudes Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Joe Quattrocci. Tonight, I am joined by, I'm outnumbered by two New Yorkers tonight. One from Western New York and one from New York City. So first of all, from Queens, New York, again, home of the New York Mets, we have Mr. Dave Koch. Dave, welcome to the show tonight. How are you, sir?
Things are good. You know, Debbie was sick, so the union sent me. But Joseph, I have a question for you.
Yes, go ahead with your question, sir.
You know, you introduced us as the Mickey Dudes tonight. Shouldn't we be calling ourselves, for the purposes of this show, the Minion Dudes?
Maybe, and that's a great segue into what tonight's show is going to be about. So before we get there, let's head up the New York State Thruway to Western New York and introduce Mr. Chuck Fitzgerald. Chuck, welcome to the show tonight. How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir, but I do have a question for you. Yes. What is the thruway that you would head up to go from the city to everywhere else?
All I know is I get to Albany, and then after that, I'm kind of lost. So to me, everything...
Right, but what's the thruway?
The New York State Thruway.
What's it? What's its number?
I don't remember, dude. I just know it's 287 North.
No, it's. I'll give you a hint.
Or 278.
By me, it's the Major Deegan. So start off with.
I don't remember. It's 287 in New Jersey, and then that turns into.
That's the Brooklyn's Queens Expressway over here.
Dave, it's 287 by me. All right, it goes that way, but then it changes to the thruway.
No, is it 87? 278. That's South Morristown, you went. Yeah. It's I-87.
Okay. Well, all I know is it's a toll road. So
it is a toll road. However, as soon as you get to Albany, if you want to go west, which you will need to do, it's the 90.
Well, speaking of that, Chuckle, speaking of going west, how far are you from Watkins Glen?
90 minutes, 2 hours.
All right. I will be up there for the NASCAR Cup Series race coming up in a few weeks. So I'm excited to head up to the Finger Lakes and see some NASCAR action up there.
You know, this is actually going to lead into our topic a little bit, but if you're coming up, we will definitely make it a point to go see you and your lovely wife, as we will probably discuss later.
Yeah, and that's what the show is. So speaking of meeting up and having fun, and also what Dave said with speaking of the Minion Dudes, our very own Chuck Fitzgerald and his lovely wife Heather vacationed down in Central Florida in Orlando, and they did a little bit of Disney, a little bit of Universal Orlando Resort, and you know, Chuck met up with former Mickey Dude Jeff Williams. Actually, once a Mickey Dude, always a Mickey Dude. I met up with Dave Koch and also met up with myself and my wife Jennifer as well. So it was a fun trip. And we figured, you know, we talk about Disney a lot in the show. We talk about Universal. But when we actually go, we like to share it with you guys. So, Chuck, we figured, you know, this would be a great time for you to kind of dive in and give you a little trip report about how your trip was to Universal and to Walt Disney World. So go ahead and why don't you start it off for us here.
It was good.
What was good about it? Was it the night at Splitsville, or was it?
So it was actually a great trip. So Heather and I went down. It was a little bit weird. We went, I think, a Wednesday to a Tuesday, right near the end of June. Originally, our flights were Buffalo to Orlando direct. more on that later. But due to the staffing constraints of Southwest and basically every company right now, it was an indirect flight, so it took us about 5 hours to get there. But we still made it to MCO by, I think it was about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And that was fantastic. I mean, there's nothing quite like landing at MCO. You walk out of the plane, and as soon as you're on the jetway, all you feel is that humidity, and it's like, all right.
You get that musty smell.
Yeah, yeah, that musty, it's 800% humidity, you better get ready smell. So we did a couple of different things this trip. We'll delve into that a little bit later. But the first and probably the biggest thing that we did differently on this trip is we did not stay on Disney property. We did go to Disney, but we did not stay on Disney property. We ended up booking six nights at the Endless Summer Resort over at Universal, which, Dave, Joe, what did Endless Summer used to be?
Wet n' Wild Orlando.
Yep, absolutely. It was Wet n' Wild Orlando. So we did that, and because of that, obviously we couldn't use Magical Express, but Universal does have a paid service, see also Magical Express in 2022, to take you directly to their resorts.
John, do I have a question for you for that?
Yes, sir.
Any particular reason why you chose to stay at Universal and not just to stay on Disney property?
100% cost. And two, we weren't going to go to Universal, or excuse me, to Disney anyways. It's just a couple of things lined up, and we were able to make that happen just with timing. So our original booking was just for Universal. I think we bought 14-day park-to-park-to-park tickets. So we had no intention of really going to Disney, except for maybe Disney Springs, because, you know, it's Disney Springs. There's tons of places to eat and drink and shop over there. So that was the original intention. Like I said, some things worked out where we were able to make it work to go to Disney. But at the end of the day, we only did 3 days at Disney, as opposed to the balance of the trip being at Universal.
Now, let me ask you a question, Chuck. I did, and kind of jumping ahead a little bit here, but I did give you guys a ride back to your hotel. How was Endless Summer?
I would 100% resort? Recommend you staying there. If you are looking for a nice value hotel within the Orlando market, it's a fantastic resort. There's a lot of good things about the Endless Summer Resort. We stayed at Endless Summer Dockside, which they are two different hotels. It's kind of like All-Star Movies, All-Star Music, All-Star Sports. But you can look across the street and see the other one. The food was fantastic for it being hotel food, hotel food court food. The busing to Universal was great. The issues are if you plan on going to Disney and you do not have a car, even if you do have a car, it's about a $25 Uber ride each way. And I believe there is a parking fee associated at Endless Summer, and that I believe is $15 a night, not a day, a night. So, you know, it's kind of baked in to the cost, but if you look at the cost of the hotel, I think it's something like $80 to $100 per night, which you can't get a Disney resort for that price anymore. And for what you're getting, it's fantastic.
Bro, you can't get a Courtyard for that price. I mean, or, no. Or a Fairfield Inn.
Well, you know what? It's actually funny. I just stayed at a Springfield Suites, and it was $98 a night. So I'm actually looking it up right now. So right now it's about $118 a night. That may be the rack rate. Based on when we went, it was a little bit cheaper because it's, let's be honest, it's right before holiday week. So they're going to not have as many
now. Halloween Horror Nights opening weekend, I checked it, they want $260 a night.
Oh yeah,
I would not pay $260 a night for the hotel.
No, especially absolutely when it's surrounded by like other...
going over there, and then I saw that, I'm like, yeah, nope.
That's a lot. Like,
yeah,
I would give it. I would not pay more than like $130 for this hotel.
And that's a fair supposition, I would say.
Yeah, because you're not getting an express pass or anything.
I haven't stayed there yet. Nope. I've been in the hotel. I've been up and I've had friends that have stayed there. That's actually Endless Summer is the only hotel on Universal property that I haven't stayed at yet. So,
for what it's worth, the standard room at Endless Summer starts at $88 a night plus tax.
And Chuck, was it, you know, it's a cheaper room, right? But was it?
It is the Universal Value room.
But correct. But was it clean? There was no problems with it, right? The clientele was good.
Like, yeah, no, there were no problems with it. Right. I actually had more problems at my Marriott stay for work last week, where I got checked into a room that someone else was already in.
Oh, nice.
Than I did at Universal. And so we got there real early. Like I said, we got there at about 11:30. Check-in's not till 4. And when we checked in, you know, there was a little bit of a line, whatever. And this is actually going to be one thing that I will talk about is our familiarity with Universal compared to Disney is just not there. I had not been to Universal since, when did Islands of Adventure open?
1998 or something like that.
That was the last time I was at a Universal property.
Might have been 1997. Animal Kingdom opened in 98. It might have been opened a little bit earlier.
So we were, last time I was there, I was either 9 or 10 years old, and Universal Islands of Adventure was in soft opens. So that is, you know, a big difference. But as we walked into the resort, I mean, it's a standard lobby. There is a lobby bar, Sunset Lounge, fantastic. There is a sign that says, hey, if you did mobile check-in, go this way. Well, we didn't do mobile check-in. We weren't sure how to do mobile check-in, and we weren't positive that it even existed. But with that being said, when we checked in, the team member, because it's Universal and it's a team member, was fantastic. And she asked us, hey, what do you want? Do you want a high floor? Do you want a low floor? And I said, listen, get us into a room as soon as you can, and then we'll talk about preferences. And she's like, you know what? We'll absolutely make that happen. So we got into a room, I think, on the 7th floor at 11:30 in the morning, which you basically can't do at a Disney resort. So that's a huge benefit that we ran into. And the resort was fantastic. I mean, there's two towers at each of the resorts. There's Dockside and Surfside, two towers at each. And they do pay homage to Wet and Wild, like for Dockside. Yeah,
that's cool. All right.
Dockside, there were drinks at the bar, the pool bar specifically.
I was just going to ask you, I'm like, did you notice the homage paid at the pool bar?
Yes, absolutely. Right. But only because I watched the Tim Tracker videos in anticipation of the trip. I never made it to Wet and Wild, so it would have been lost on me had I not known
you
that.
See, me either. I never been to any, not even the one in by Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. You know, so they had to point that out to me, but it was still kind of cool to know.
Now, was there any other, like, if they paid homage to Wet and Wild, was there any other homage to like the Endless Summer movie or like the Endless Summer like license plates? Like, I know for
well, Before we go to that, let's just finish out how they actually do pay the homage to Wet n' Wild.
The drink names at the bar. And Joe, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, because I said the Endless Summer license plates, which is based off the Endless Summer movie, are the most popular specialty plates in the state of Florida. They're everywhere. Everybody has them. It's to do with surfboard and it's like the sunset. So if you Google it, I'm sure Dave sees them around Orlando all the time.
I mean, I believe that they exist.
I just didn't know if they like it was based a lot on the movie too.
Here's what I will say that was nice for Heather, not so much for me. And one of the first things that we noticed is there's a Starbucks in the lobby of the hotel. I noticed the bar. Heather noticed the Starbucks. It was fantastic for her. They do have weird hours right now. I don't know if that's a COVID thing or if that's like just the hours, but I believe it was Sunday through Thursday was opening 5 or 6 or 7 to 2. And then Friday, Saturday was opening, which was 5 or 6 or 7 till 10.
Well, that seems like no different than the Disney coffee bars in the lobby. Like you got a Contemporary Grounds and like the Contemporary, it's like never open half the time or, you know what I'm saying? Like these coffee shops are never open in hotels. So it seems like it's par for the course.
Yeah. I mean, that's possible. It was what it was. I mean, it was nice to have. There was always a line. You could not mobile order, but it was nice.
All right. So what did you do next? Checked in?
We checked in. We got into our room. The room was real nice. We were, like I said, we're up on the 7th floor. I will say this. It is a, I think, a 14 or 12 story hotel. So the higher you can get, the better that is. However, with that being said, the elevator situation has a tremendous potential for issue because there are 12 to 14 stories of rooms, so you can have problems with that. We got into the room, we just literally dropped our stuff off, and then we decided, you know what, let's go to Disney. So we Ubered to, or we Lyfted or whatever, to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
All right. And what did we do there?
I'm actually looking up the receipt right now just to see how much it was to go from Parks or Universal to Disney. So it is a little bit of a longer trip.
Yes. 2348.
Let me take a look. It varied, it looks like. So the first day. Oh, wait, what? Oh, the first day, it looks like it was 2836. So, you know, it's not terrible, but if you are, you know, not renting a car and you plan on staying at Universal and going to Disney every day, you're looking at $60 a day.
Well,
at least.
The look at the price of rental cars is ridiculous right now. So,
well, price of rental cars, plus then you have to figure parking. It would add up. So it was actually cheaper for us to Uber back and forth. Even at, you know, we met up with a bunch of people while we were down there. So that helped us tremendously for the cost savings. But even if we were to have paid it outright, it would have been cheaper than paying for the rental car plus parking. So we went to Disney's Animal Kingdom and we ran into Mickey dude, Jeff Williams, one of the best people, you know, as we've said, once a Mickey dude, always a Mickey dude, Jeff's one of the nicest people you could ever hope to meet. So we spent some time with him at, you know, Disney's Animal Kingdom, and he showed us a secret spot underneath the bridge from Harambe to Pandora to watch the boat pageant or whatever, the character meet and greets as they float by on the boats. There was literally no one there, and who came strolling by? Well, not strolling by, but floating by, but Donald Duck, and that was fantastic. There was no one there. So if you're looking for a quiet space to go, I would recommend going, you know, a little bit further up towards Harambe as to not take my spot.
And Heather was to love that because we all know that's her favorite character.
Yes, Heather absolutely loved that. And you know what? It was fantastic. So we spent a little bit of time in Animal Kingdom. We didn't really do anything other than enjoy each other's company. But as we were walking from the back of Animal Kingdom through Pandora, just observing the sights and everything like that, we walked through Tiffin's, and, you know, I was talking to Jeff because he's like, oh, does Dave know you're here? I'm like, you know what? I don't think I told him. I got to get in touch with him. And I think I said Dave's name one too many times, like Beetlejuice. And who do we see strolling towards us but Mr. Dave Koch himself? I'm like, oh, look, it's Dave. And Jeff thought I was kidding. No, it was really Dave.
And you said you were by Tiffin's when this happened?
Yes.
Because Dave, you know, you love Tiffin's. You love Tiffin's. You love the Nomad Lounge. Like, if you're ever in, if it's always like one of those things, like, where can I find Dave Koch? It's, you look at Tiffin's or Nomad Lounge. That's where you'll find him.
Actually, in this case, though, I was actually on my way to Pandora to DAS a ride on Flight of Passage with my father.
Well, the same thing. You're in
the mobility issues, so he had a DAS, and rather than make him walk all the way to the attraction, I took his magic band and just ran over there so I can get him a return time and save his legs a bit.
Yeah, so it was actually real. It was a very nice surprise to run into Dave. I wish we could have spent a little bit more time with him. But we were on our way out of the park. Excuse me, by this time it was after 2 o'clock, so we park hopped. We were able to take advantage of the park hopping. And I think we went to Magic Kingdom. So for right now, if you have reservations at a specific park, you have up until, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave or Joe, 2 o'clock.
Yep.
In theory, you could actually get it at 1:30.
It starts at 1:30. I wish I would have known
officially
that.
Officially, it starts at 2, but I've gotten in much earlier.
Okay. So we went over to from Animal Kingdom without doing anything, mind you, to Magic Kingdom. Jeff was nice enough to drive us over to Magic Kingdom, dropped us off. And Heather and I just kind of explored Magic Kingdom. It was the first time that we've been there since we've seen the castle.
What did you think of the new colors?
So I took one picture of the castle, as I discovered today. We were looking for a picture for one of our show arts, and I'm like, oh, I was just there. I should have tons of pictures of this. I took one.
That just shows
it's not
you
bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Dave, do you like it? Do you like the color of the...
I do.
Yeah, of course you do.
Well, I'm going to say it's different. Not bad, like but it's not the... it's not...
It pays homage to Disneyland, almost. So,
If I want to go to Disneyland, I'll go to Disneyland.
What?
I don't know, guys. It's not... Joe, it's not bad. I'll give Dave credit on this one. It's not bad. But it's not...
Do I prefer it all blue? Yes. But you know what? That's not going to be the case. So, I pick my battles. You know, life is too short. There are other things. If I really wanted to complain about other stuff that I don't like what happens in Disney, I'd rather waste my time moaning about that. If I'm actually going to even moan about it, you know, at this point, I'm still in the happiest place on earth. You know, I'm going to make the best of it. And, you know, I'm not an Imagineer. I can't change it. So, you know, I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I personally prefer the Dreamlights Castle, but it was cool. I mean, it was nice to see it in a different color, and that color really popped. So we spent a little bit of time over in Magic Kingdom. We did rides. I think we did like Space Mountain. We didn't really do a ton. And then we once again met up with Jeff and spent a little bit of time in the Epcot area. We went to like Beach Club and things like that. So that was really our first night. We didn't do a ton. Jeff, once again, great person, drove us back from the Beach Club Yacht Club area over to Universal. And we beat a storm by about 20 minutes. So we were kind of hemming and hawing as we were in the area, like, do we stay? Do we go? None of us really wanted to get wet, and let's be honest, we left the house at 5 a.m. and this was about 7 p.m. So we're like, let's just head back to the hotel. So we got back to the hotel about 8:30, and when we got back to the hotel, it looked like a biblical rainstorm had gone through the area. People always joke about Disney being in a bubble. I'm not sure that that's a full joke anymore, because Disney had, is it going to rain? The Universal area had absolutely it rained. Like, people were walking back into the hotel talking about how cold they were, how wet they were. They were in their Universal ponchos. Like, you would never have known it if you were over at the Disney bubble. And is it a real bubble? I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, you never know what the government does nowadays. Or Disney.
No. They turn that dome off quite frequently that week. I got caught in one of those. I was like a drowned rat later on that week. So they turned that bubble off.
It is it's Florida in the summer. So
they must have to recharge or something each day, you know? Because once they turn the dome off, it starts to rain. It's like clockwork.
It's probably like the episode of The Simpsons where, you know, you get one little crack in the dome that's produced by Russ Cargill's company. And then who knows what's going to happen? He's a man on a big TV. Anyone reference? No. So that was the first day. The second day, we actually spent the day with listener of the show and one of Heather's friends, Rick. So he picked us up at the hotel and took us to Hollywood Studios, as that's where we had reservations for that day. We were unable to get a Rise of the Resistance boarding group at the 7 a.m. And then we were really unable to, we got the 1 o'clock boarding group. However, the ride went down for something right before we would have been called, and you know, they're like, oh, can't go on it, sorry. But
have you ever been on it?
Nope. Have not been on Rise. So, you know, that was it was a little bit disappointing, but I understand we're not gonna yell at the cast members for something outside of their control, as unfortunately many, many guests were doing.
But at least you got to experience the disappointment.
Yeah, we got to experience the
disappointment. They got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, that was a nice change. But what we did get to do for the first time was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And I will say, for dark rides in Disney, full disclosure, not have ever gone on Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Probably one of the best dark rides in the parks.
We know Dave loves it.
Nothing can stop us now.
Yeah, nothing can stop us now. And you know what? I was a huge fan of the Great Movie Ride. This is a good replacement.
I'm really glad that they have the cartoon back now, because...
Is that the pre-show, COVID, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I still haven't seen that yet.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, you should go back and the ride makes so much more sense now when you see that cartoon. As a matter of fact, when I was spending the day with Florence Porter, I actually I think it was Florence that I did it with. I actually made her watch the cartoon while we were online on YouTube beforehand to kind of just get a better overview of what the ride was going to be and everything. So.
Yeah, and you know what? It's great because as you walk out of the ride, it all ties in. It makes more sense with the pre-show as you exit the ride.
Yes. So,
Joe, I would strongly recommend you try to get a reservation for Hollywood Studios. And
that's good to know, yeah, because like Jen and I have always just walked through that beginning part because of during the COVID times. And Dave, I mean, we rode it together that one time as well. The last time we were in the studios together and we walked right through the cartoon in the beginning. So, I mean, the ride's good. I like it. I mean, I don't think it's the greatest thing ever, but I think it's pretty good. I like some of the scenes. I like the dancing scene. The water scene as well is really cool. So, and I know it's Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, but Goofy's awesome in it. So, I mean,
Goofy makes the show, and then he plugs that thing in at the end. Ah, oh, it's the best.
It's almost like it's more Goofy's ride than Minnie and Mickey's ride. I mean, but
I will say, and Dave, you can agree with me on this one. If it wasn't for Mickey and Minnie, this ride would have just been a normal ride. They messed everything up, and Goofy had to save the day.
Yeah. And you know who really gets the shaft in that ride is poor Pluto.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, he gets thrown in the trunk. Bad news all around.
He's thrown in the trunk on top
Joe
of that.
Joe doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, yeah. I do.
Well, in the...
Do you?
I sent him the cartoon.
Okay.
But... The other thing, too, on top of that is, you know, you see that little scene where they're in the Wild Wild West, and there's Pluto in the background. If you turn your head, and he's waiting for Mickey, and he's waiting for Mickey and Minnie, and he's holding the picnic basket in his mouth, and he's all happy, and they're all trying to like catch us, and they totally leave him, and it just goes dark, and there's him, there's him with a still sitting there in the middle of the night in the desert, and he has this sad face on him. A little tear is running down his eye. Every time I want to hug Pluto. He just does. They were not fair to that poor dog in this. I'm done.
Okay. So we spent that day at Hollywood Studios. I think we went back to the hotel that night. And we may have eaten there. I don't remember back at Endless Summer. I will say Universal's Endless Summer does have much better pizza at the hotel than any of the Disney pizzas. Heather's next to me and just said it tastes like Pizza Hut pizza. It's fantastic. So it's very good.
So does Heather like Pizza Hut or is that a...
Do you like Pizza Hut or is that a...
Did somebody ask that?
Joe asked that.
I like Pizza Hut pizza.
Okay, so that's a compliment then.
Yes, that's a compliment. It was very good.
Just for full disclosure here, you know, Chuck is from Western New York, and his pizza standards are much different than Dave and I's from the tri-state area. So,
in fact, all of the Pizza Huts in Western New York have since closed.
Okay, so it must be that. That's why maybe Heather loved it so much, because it was reminiscent
the nostalgia.
Of the nostalgia of all of the local chains that are no longer a business. By the way, Dave, loved the... pictured the Sicilian pie you had the other day on your Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Looked amazing.
Maybe one day when we're both up north, maybe we can go.
We gotta get over to that place in Brooklyn on Avenue Y. Spumoni Gardens. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh yeah, but I love L&D. You know. Yes.
So anyway, Chuck, back to
you. Wait, tonight there's going to be a picture of Spumoni Ice actually being sent out. So make sure you like it.
All right, back to Chuck. Back to Chuck here. So
I'm actually looking forward to that picture myself. So that takes us to the second day, and now the third day is probably one of the highlights of the trip and one of the more painful lessons learned. So this was the day that we met up with Joe, you and your fantastic wife, at Disney Springs. Now, fun fact about Disney transport right now, if you are unaware, there is absolutely no transportation that runs from any park to Disney Springs.
That doesn't, it's supposed to, that's the problem. It's like,
correct. And that was the belief that we had gone on. Any time that we had gone previously, it was, you know, after 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever it was, you can get from a park to Disney Springs. Oh, nay, nay. You cannot do that anymore. So Heather and I took a Disney bus from maybe Magic Kingdom to, and thanks to Joe, we were aware that this was the probably the best way to do this, to Saratoga Springs.
But I did offer to pick you up though. And you're like, no, I'll take a bus. So I was like, I would have picked
you up. I mean, you offered to pick us up, but it was so far out of your way because we were at Magic Kingdom, excuse me. And by that point we were already in line for the bus. So it was actually, I don't want to say it was faster for us to go to Saratoga because it was definitely not, but we didn't want to inconvenience you anymore because we were already running.
Well, I did guide you through my lovely home resort. I was like, you need to get off at the spring stop.
Yes.
Walk this way. I was like, because the other way is not open because we were meeting at Splitsville for dinner and the west side entrance is still not open because you have to go through security. So.
So about that, you don't.
Do we really want to discuss that on the show?
So the security, there is security. Don't get me wrong, but the security measures that are in place at every other entrance to the springs are not in place for that path. And that's okay. I mean, you still go through security. It's just not the same level of security. And that's because, let's be honest, how many people are walking from springs to Saratoga to springs?
Yeah, not many.
But Joe, you definitely saved the night on that one because we were able to use your directions. And I think we walked a 7 minute mile from Springs or from Saratoga to Springs over at Splitsville and had one of the better dinners in Disney Springs that we've ever had.
And you had never eaten at Splitsville before, right?
I'd never eaten at Splitsville. I had walked by it, obviously, but never eaten there. We were able to get the reservation that night. Now, Dave, have you ever eaten at Splitsville?
Yes, actually.
What are your thoughts?
It's pure gourmet food. I love the sushi.
Yeah, so I'm not a real big sushi fan, and I did try edamame for the first time there with Joe, and it was very good. And Heather got her squeeze bottle drink, which she enjoyed tremendously. It was actually one of two squeeze bottles that we bought that trip. So the food at Splitsville is very, very good. I think I had a burger or something of the sorts. Highly, highly recommended. I mean, if you don't have to bowl, it was loud. It was cold in there because it was raining and we had just basically ran from, Saratoga. But the evening with Joe, you and your fantastic wife was amazing.
Yeah, that was a good dinner. We had a good conversation and Jenna never met you or Heather before.
No, that's not right. That's not right.
No. Oh, that's right. She met you once, but never Heather.
That's also not right.
Oh, man.
She met us both during an AP event on our honeymoon.
Oh, my God. That's right. Can I edit this out?
You know, Heather was actually pretty upset that you didn't remember meeting her at homecoming.
No, I remember meeting her at homecoming because that was with me, her, and Dave that night. I remember that. That was the
three of you.
I remember that.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say
we were sitting at the bar. I remember that.
And Jen was there that night at homecoming? Yes. And Jen was there at homecoming, wait, Joe?
I guess she was there. Yes, because she was there.
Yes, she was.
All right, so Jen had never... Actually, no, Jen had met us.
There's been many Mickey dudes escapades. I can't keep them all... I get them all mixed up, all right? So,
Yeah, so we had a fantastic evening over at Splitsville. We were there for quite a bit of time. A
couple hours. It was raining, too.
It was raining. And then, you know, you and Jen were obviously nice enough to take us back to Universal. And that was basically the end of the Disney trip.
You closed it out on a high note.
Closed it out on a very high note.
With the Quattrochis. Yeah,
with the Quattrochis. Quattrochi?
Quattrochis.
I think Quattrochi.
You can say whatever you want, but you are Saratoga and you were out without the Quattrochis, so.
Yeah, yeah, it was the Quattrochi nights.
That's right.
Start, go to Saratoga, walk over, go to the springs, all sorts of Quattrochi stuff. Now, I will say this. I had never been to Saratoga before. We live 4.5-5 hours away from Saratoga.
The real Saratoga.
Real Saratoga, not Saratoga Springs, Florida. I'd stay there. Heather was very aghast by that and still is. Like, we live close enough that we could go to the real place. Why would you want to stay there? But it had a nice homey feel to it. So, Joe, I appreciate your admiration of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And you'll appreciate that when you go to check in, they fly the state of New York flag there. So it's the only Disney resort that they do that. The out-of-state flag, yes. So.
Yeah. So Joe, Dave, any questions about the Disney portion of the trip before we move on?
No, it sounds good. Dave, you got anything?
Nope.
So that concludes part one of two of Chuck and Heather's trip to Walt Disney World and Universal Studios. We hope you guys enjoyed. Please tune in next week for the continuation and conclusion of their trip for part two here on the Mickey Dudes Podcast. Thank you guys.
You've just listened to another exciting episode of the Mickey Dudes Podcast. You can find the Mickey Dudes on Facebook at the Mickey Dudes Podcast and on Twitter at the Mickey Dudes. If you enjoyed our podcast, please share the love on Stitcher or iTunes. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again real soon.